Trinity of the Christian Church. Went to this particular church, you know, there were about 8,000 people in town over there in Louisville. Went to this particular church, it was a Methodist church. Walked in the place, big sanctuary and whatnot, you know, that's fine, that's cool and whatnot. But there was a staircase, a spiral staircase that led up to the pulpit where the pastor would be looking down upon all of us to deliver the word of God. And that day I said to myself, I'm never going to stand behind a pulpit to preach again. I love this church. I love this church so much. And I got to tell you right now that Roxanne and I appreciate all the love that we receive from all of you people. I mean, it's just incredible to us. And you know, it amazes me how this church comes together to help out and whatnot. But you know, last Sunday, I don't remember who it was that made the announcement that the choir was off for the rest of the summer. Oh, wait a minute. I'm preaching next Sunday. So I sat there and I thought to myself, well, I'm either going to ask Buck if he'll sing for me, or I'm going to ask Stephanie if she'll sing for me. Well, I knew Stephanie was serving today, and I didn't want to double things up on her, so I thought, I'm going to ask Buck to sing for me this weekend because I like music. So I was talking to Carolyn after church out there in the parking lot. I said, Carolyn, is that true? No choir for the rest of the summer? And she said, well, no. But she said, well, we're going to have special music. I said, oh, that's great. I'm preaching next Sunday. I'd like to have some special music. And she said, Buck's singing. What could I say? Once again, I started thinking about that. I realized something. When I moved here 4 years ago after I retired, God already knew that I was going to be preaching here today. And God already knew that Buck was going to be singing here today. And you know, in typical God-like fashion, he worked everything out. I didn't have anything to concern myself with. And that's the way it always works. And that's the way it works for each one of us when you start thinking about my sermon title today, Accepting the Inheritance. Because that's precisely what we are called to do, to accept all the things that God has for us. It doesn't matter what it is. Take it, receive it, accept it. And you know, that goes back into the Old Testament when you stop and think about it. That little story over there in 2 Kings 2:9 with Elisha. He's with Elijah. God is getting ready to translate Elijah up into heaven. And what does Elisha do? He asks for a double portion of Elijah's spirit to come upon him. And that's exactly what happened. You see, God gave him a double portion. So that tells us right there that God wants us to have at least a double portion of what he has for us. And then I got to thinking about that, and I think, you know, that all changed when we got to the New Testament, didn't it? Because of the life and the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was through his work that God sent to us all of the amenities of heaven, if you will, through Jesus. It's just a matter of us accepting that reality and allowing it to become a part of our lives. And bless his heart, in Colossians 1:12, the Apostle Paul says, give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. That says something right there. It's ours. God gave it to us. He qualified us in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All we need to do is reach out there and accept it. In Ephesians 5, 18-20, commands us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to sing hymns, to sing spiritual songs, if you will, and to give thanksgiving to the Lord our God. It's all a part of discipleship. And when you think of discipleship, all it is an art to learn what it is that the Lord would have for us. And nobody did it better than the Apostle Paul. Reading from Philippians, I want to start off up here with verses 7 and 8. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. What he's talking about is his old nature. He accepted Jesus Christ. God zapped him on the road to Damascus. And man, I can't imagine what that must have been like. God come down zapping that guy on the road to Damascus. And he receives the Lord Jesus in his life and in his heart. But from that point on, Paul was about giving things up so that he might receive more of Christ. Verse 8, but indeed I also count all things as loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Jesus was so important to the Apostle Paul that he was willing to give up all of the things that he had accumulated throughout his old nature when he was a Roman guard, a high-ranking official. Think about it. Paul had it all. But he was willing to give all of that up so that he could serve his Lord and his Savior. But I think about that. And I think about Christians today. You know, we have a serious ability to inhibit the inheritance when it comes to our own lives. You see, God is so willing to give to all of us, but you know, we get to thinking to ourselves, I'm not good enough. I can't take all that stuff that God's willing to give to me because I don't measure up in this life. I read an illustration earlier and I want to share with you. You know, it's kind of like buying a ticket on an airplane to fly coach. And right before the airplane takes off, you get an upgrade in the first class. Woo wee, wow, that's great. We're going to fly first class. But you get up there, all of the amenities that are there for you to take advantage of, and you sit there and you start thinking to yourself, man, I don't deserve to be up here. I should be back in coach because that's exactly where I belong. You get in the picture. That happened to me one time when I was in the Navy. You fly standby and whatnot. I got on my airplane. I was just excited to be on that plane. And the plane was filling up, and for some odd reason, they selected me to stick me up in first class because there was a seat up there. And you know what I did when I was in first class? The waitress, the stewardesses would come by, would you like this? No, thank you. Would you like this? No, thank you. Would you like this? No, thank you. I'm sitting in first class. I didn't know what to do. But then she offered me something that I could handle. She said, would you like a bag of peanuts? Well, I'll take the bag of peanuts because I was going to get that in coach anyway. And that's so many times, that's how we operate in this life. We are not willing to accept the things that God has for us. And you know, people, it is just totally and ridiculous that we have that kind of a mindset. You know, it kind of reminds me of the Israelite nation because that's exactly what they did. God sent Moses over to Egypt, bring my people out. And Moses goes over there and he brings the people out into the wilderness. And they start wandering all over the wilderness. Those people were getting hungry. They were thirsty. They were constantly on the move. And they were getting sick and tired of this wilderness thing. And what do? They complain to Moses. Moses, buddy, take us back to Egypt. What? I can almost hear Moses. What are you talking about? Yeah, take us back to Egypt. We had it so much better there. You've got to be kidding me. You had it better there? Taskmasters? Horrible living conditions? Worked to the point of exhaustion, some of them to the point of death. Yeah, but Moses, they fed us over there. They gave us a place to sleep. It was good back there in Egypt. And my friends, that is what I refer to as Egypt mentality. Unable to be willing to accept all of the things that God has for us. When you think about all the things that he was going to give to them. I mean, he was giving them food. Might have been the same stuff every day. Bread, a manna. The manna from heaven. Same thing. But he was still taking care of them. But it wasn't enough because of all that good food that they were getting back there in Egypt. They just didn't have the vision. They just didn't understand what it meant to accept the inheritance that God had for them. Can you imagine going back to Egypt and staying there? It's because they didn't feel like they deserved all of the goodness that God had for them. And you know, when I think about John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but will have eternal life. You see, God gave. We accept, if we're smart, we accept. And for that we get eternal life in the kingdom of God. You know, it's the best insurance policy ever written. And the neat part about that policy is that it's free. There are no premiums. It's all yours. It's there for the taking. But when you think about an inheritance, what do you think about? Generally, in our own minds, you think about somebody who's died in a family and whatnot, normally a parent, and you get the inheritance. And you know, throughout my 36 years of ministry, throughout my 4 years here in Joplin, I have never heard of anybody anywhere turning down not even one percentage point of the inheritance that they received from their parent. They accepted it all. And you know, I was thinking about that this week. My sister and I and our other two siblings, we lost our mom 3 years ago this November. She passed away. And, you know, we went down and we got our inheritance. And it was wonderful and whatnot. And you know what? We took it all. We didn't let Ed Jones keep one penny. We accepted all of it. And I think about that and I think, my goodness, my mom took all that inheritance from her. And I thought to myself, why can't we accept all of the inheritance that God has for us, because he loves us even infinitely more than our parent loved us? And that's the point. Why can't we accept it? And it all goes back to this business of Egypt mentality in our own minds and in our own hearts. For whatever reason, we just don't feel like we measure up. We just don't feel like we deserve to have all that stuff. More fun in coach, you get the peanuts, but that's all you get. More fun in coach. But you know what? That's not what God wanted for us. God wanted us to have it all. You know, I love it when people tell me that they're pursuing God. Really? Did he run away? How's that working for you? You really think you can outrun God? You're going to be able to catch up with him? I just love that, because I hear so many people tell me that. You don't have to chase God. The inheritance was given to us through Jesus Christ. He paid the price. We have that because of his work, not because of anything that we can do. And man, your Nikes better be fast if you think you're going to catch God. That's all there is to it. But God never asked us to chase him, did he? Not at all. What did God do over there in Matthew 7? What did he say? Ask and seek and knock. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. But the most important thing there is the seeking part. Because what are you doing when you seek anything? You're looking for something. You're looking for someone. That's what seeking is all about. John 3:16 again. In a nutshell, it's the plan of salvation. God gave, we receive, and we get the eternal life in the kingdom. But you know what's really cool about that? You don't have to look for anything, because if you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then he is already within you. And you know, I thought to myself, if Jesus is really in my heart, and if one of his names is wonderful, what does that make you? Makes you fabulous. So when you get up tomorrow morning and you get all cleaned up and whatnot, and you look in that mirror, you say, hi, fabulous. Because that's exactly what you are. In the eyes of this God that loved us so much that he would give us his son. Think about it. It's a reality. That's all there is to it. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God who is in you. You don't have to look for anything. You don't have to chase anything. It'd be like a dog chasing his tail. It's already there. Why chase it? All we need to do is accept the reality of what is there. Because the Spirit has taken up residence inside of you. It's a question of accepting. I want to run over here to Galatians. Galatians 5:22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit here. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy, it's peace, it's long-suffering, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Paul knew that. They're his words. That is the inheritance. Does it remind you of anybody reading those words there? Pastor David, if you remember, did a sermon series on this a few months ago. He talked about this in some detail. It is the inheritance of God. This is a description of our Lord and Jesus Christ, who we are to pattern our lives after. And certainly, that is exactly what the Apostle Paul did. But you know, the problem is, too many times we spend all of our time in coach, where you get the peanuts. We might accept maybe four or five of those fruits of the Spirit, but all nine of them, you've got to be kidding me. I can't accept that. I'm not good enough. I don't measure up. I know what God's thinking when he looks down on me. He's up there with his Xbox. Watch me, man. Things are going good for old Steve now. I think I'll press this button and default his life a little bit. God doesn't do that. All God wants to do is give and give and give, which is what he constantly does for us in our lives if we will allow him to do it. But so many times, we are comfortable living in coach. We're comfortable living in Egypt mentality. That's not what he wants. All I can say this is, if that's who you are, man, are you missing out. Missing out on so much goodness, but not by not accepting it. You see, it doesn't matter what your situations might be. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. If you love the Lord, if he's your Savior, then he's going to go with you wherever you might go. It's the way it works. I don't care if you're going to interview for a job. I don't care if you're going to the hospital for surgery. I don't care if you're going out to the playground to play with your kids. If he's your Lord and Savior, he's going to go there with you. It's his promise. We can stand upon that promise. Because he loves us so much. I want to come back to the Apostle Paul here for a little bit because you see, Paul is the classic example of what it means to inherit, to accept the inheritance. He took Jesus with him wherever he went. Read his books. Fabulous books. Read them. If you want to find out what Paul did with Jesus, it didn't matter if he was being stoned, if he was shipwrecked, if he was preaching, or if he was in prison, God was there with him. The Spirit and the joy of the Lord was upon that man. And you know, I often wonder, how did that work for him when he was in prison? How would I feel if I was in prison? Not like Paul did, apparently. Because you see, when Paul was in prison, he looked on page 5 of the inheritance manual. Sing with the prisoners. And that's what Paul did. In the depths and the sloth of this dungeon, this filthy dungeon that he was in, Paul allows the joy of the Lord to spring up within him, and he has all the prisoners singing songs to the Lord. I've thought about that so many times and wondered, man, what was going on? Paul used the resources and the assets of his inheritance. And it's the same inheritance that you and I have. Paul may have got zapped by Jesus on the road to Damascus. But it was by the same Spirit that is there for us in our lives as well. God wants us to claim it all. Paul essentially claimed it all. And it's not something that you get today and you got it all tomorrow. I remember when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Man, this feels good. I didn't wake up the next morning Jesus Christ Jr. I didn't have the Bible memorized. Couldn't even preach then. I was still a cottonmouth. I was so shy. You couldn't have gotten me up in front of a crowd for love nor money. I know what you're thinking. That changed. But Paul, I refer again back to 13 and 14 of our lesson. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Reaching forward every day of our lives, from the rest of our lives after we have received Him as Lord and Savior. It's a time to grow a little bit more and a little bit more. That's what we're called to do. You receive that inheritance a little bit more as you go along. And I didn't ask my sister if I could say this, but we were over at my brother's house celebrating her birthday yesterday. We had a nice, lively discussion going on around the table. And my sister was talking about the fact that, you know, it's been some 40 years since we all were baptized in the Holy Spirit. But the neat thing is this, she said it doesn't matter, you know, she would grow. As time went along, certain things that she didn't consider sin became sin to her in her heart because the Lord had opened up her eyes to realities. And she would ask for forgiveness and live, go on with her life, at least trying not to do those things again. That's what accepting the inheritance of God is all about. Accepting His resources, accepting the assets that come with it, and using those things in our daily lives. God does not want us to chase Him. God wants us to seek Him. And that gives me peace. You see, God's promises are real. But it's up to each one of us to make them a reality. God, we love You so much. And Your word is so powerful and so important, Lord God. But it only works, Lord, if we receive those words and make them a part of our lives. And my prayer would be that we would all accept the reality of that inheritance that was given to us through Jesus our Savior, and that we would allow it to have a much more important part of our daily lives. In Christ's name, amen.